have been talking about soul winning. How many of you remember, what did we do the first week? What did we do? Anybody have a memory? Do you remember how well did I do in teaching? Daniel? All right, very good. You know why you remember? I put you up here, that's why. He better remember. All right. Anybody know what we talked about last week? Just a quick synopsis, maybe. Larry?
You talked about how to greet people and start a conversation with them.
Okay. Yeah, we did. I think we did talk a little bit about that last week and also the first week. Last week, though, Annie, what did we talk about? Okay, you want to talk louder because your dad is hard of hearing.
Making sure you use your story.
What'd she say?
Making sure you use your sword.
Oh, okay, yes. We talked about that too. I actually brought my regular size sword up here tonight. Sorry, I am hard of hearing. My wife wants me to get hearing aids, but I refuse to do that. So, anyway. But one of these days, it will happen. All right. Well, I had something up here, right? What did we talk about last week that was up on the PowerPoint? Just one line thing. Okay, Virginia?
The mandate of soul winning.
All right, the mandate of soul winning. Okay, we are commanded by Pastor Schweitzer to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Is that what we are? No. Who's given us the command? God has, okay? God, our Heavenly Father, has given us that command. All right, so what do you think might be the number one hindrance for us not doing that, following through with that command? What do you think it might be?
Fear.
All right, you hit it right on the nail, right on the head. Fear. The fear of man, fear of doing this. So, tonight, and last night, I'm going to be talking about these things here on how to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyway, the topic tonight is how to overcome fear in witnessing. By the way, it's common to all of us, isn't it? Most people are fearful when it comes to witnessing. And by the way, it's not a new problem. In John chapter 7, verse 13, it says this, "Howbeit no man spake openly of him," speaking of Jesus, "for fear of the Jews." Now, why were they fearful of the Jews? And speaking openly of Jesus Christ. Probably not the same reason we fear speaking openly of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they feared because if they would be persecuted, right? If you were a Jewish person, you'd probably be put out of the synagogue if they knew you were a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But why do we fear? Well, is there any persecution? Are we really persecuted if we here in America, if we witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe a little bit, but nothing like what they would have had to gone through. Like I had told you many years ago, a gentleman threatened me to move on because I used to have a bus route in Lancaster City, and there was a lady sitting right outside of her row home on the steps, and I decided to stop, give her a track, and talk to her. And I wasn't talking real long, and I guess it was either her husband or boyfriend, and he wanted to know what I was doing, and he's about ready to, you know, punch me. And so I said, told him what I was doing, and said, hey, and I just moved on. And but anyway, probably the biggest persecution we get is maybe somebody rejecting us, and remember, they're not really rejecting us, they're rejecting the gospel, or maybe slamming the door in our face. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I've ever had anybody slam the door in my face. I remember one time doing John of Romans, and I had gotten into, this is when we were up helping out Pastor Starnes. There was an apartment complex I was able to get into, and I was putting John of Romans all around, and as I got out the door and was walking to the next apartment building, some guy must have picked up his John of Romans, and he comes over to me and said, "Did you put this?" And he slams them on top of the others I was carrying, and I dropped them all. And then I think he felt bad after that, but, you know, he was mad. He didn't want that at his door. I mean, like it's going to really hurt him. But again, he wasn't rejecting me. He was just rejecting the scriptures that we were giving him. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. We're going to go through a number of scriptures tonight. Again, I'm going to give you some practical steps for overcoming fear in witnessing. And again, we just want to see that this is not new. Ephesians 6, 18. It says here, as Paul is writing, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now listen to what Paul says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And so Paul is asking for the church of Ephesus, if you will, to pray that he would open his mouth boldly and speak as he ought to speak. By the way, should we pray for boldness? Because isn't this something we should be doing? It is, and so it's something we have to pray about. Philippians 1:14, just turn a page over there or so. I believe it is. It says in verse 14 of Philippians 1, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And of course, again, just showing us that they feared to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, because of persecution. Paul was writing as he's in prison for the preaching of the gospel. But he's saying even now, you know, that people would speak boldly and not be fearful. Colossians 4:2. You don't need to turn there. Let me just read it. I have it in my notes here. Listen to this. It says, continue in prayer and watching in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. By the way, fear most likely is what keeps us from witnessing more than anything. So we want to talk about that tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for allowing us to be ambassadors for you, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you would give us boldness. Father, we are trying to teach and instruct how to and also why, because you've commanded us to do this. And now, Father, we know and you understand how fearful we can be at times, just being rejected and so forth. And so, Father, I pray you'd use this lesson tonight to help each and every one of us, and may we be obedient and give out tracts and talk to people about their soul. Well, thank you and praise you for what you accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 29:25, probably a familiar verse, says this, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. There is fear of man. And we don't know what's going to happen while we're out there. But what are we supposed to do? Put our trust in the Lord. He's always with us. He'll help us. Let me give you some practical things tonight that help give you more boldness and confidence in being a witness for Christ. The first thing I have on here is memorize the approach questions and the Romans Road. Memorize it, or at least memorize the opening statements. Does anybody remember any one of the two statements I used 2 weeks ago? If you were to, okay, Randy?
If you were to face God and you asked you why you should make him happy, what would your answer?
Very good. That's one of them. If you were to face God and he were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven, what would you say? Okay, then you can find out. Virginia?
If you were to die today, would you know if you were going to heaven?
Okay, very good. And I usually say, would you know, if you were to die tonight, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? Okay? I want them to know that they're 100% sure. Okay, and so very good, you got that. So those are pretty easy to memorize, aren't they? And the Romans Road, now I don't have my little New Testament up here, but I have those verses highlighted in my little New Testament that I will carry with me when I go out most times, okay? And so also I have it memorized. What, anybody remember maybe what would be the first verse we'd want to go to if we were doing a Romans Road? Just going to take some time tonight. We'll get done in a decent time, but let's think through this. Tracy? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, okay, that teaches us what? That we can't work our way to heaven. And it's a good verse. But if we were in Romans, Bonnie, where would we go?
Romans 3:10.
All right, Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Okay, then where would we go? Okay, Gail had her hand raised.
Romans 3:23.
All right, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, then where would we go? John?
Romans 5:8.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and so death passed upon all men. God commanded his love toward us, and no, I'm messing up. What is it again? And that while we were yet sinners,
Christ died for us.
Okay, Romans 5:8. All right, so I'm rusty. All right, where's the next verse? Well, you're doing good. Okay, John, you have...
Romans 6:23.
All right, and what do we want to do the whole verse?
I have the whole verse.
Okay, right, but we want to concentrate first on, for the wages of sin is death. And we want them to, again, when we're having them read, what do? Do we just read it to them? No, we show them, and they're reading, for the wages of sin is?
Death.
Okay, so you want them to say it. They got it, okay? Now, you can explain some of those things a little bit, but you don't have to if you're not real done this a whole lot, but just get the Bible verses into them. Now, what do we want to talk about? What's the next part of the verse? But the gift of God is
eternal life.
Okay, very good. And then we could go to Romans 10:9. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Or Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall upon the name of the shall be saved. All right, you got it. Okay, so now, look, we can do that. By memorizing that, it'll give you confidence, okay? Even a person who does a great deal of public speaking will possess fear if he's not prepared. If I get up here and I'm not really prepared like I feel I should be, I'm fearful. But if I'm thoroughly prepared, I know what I'm going to say. Isn't that give you boldness, Pastor, and confidence? And so it's the same way, if you're going to talk to somebody, know what you're going to tell them. Know what you're going to say. Now, being prepared, our fear is greatly diminished. We need to be prepared and know what to say. Now, I want us to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3. And verse 15. All right, most of you probably are familiar with this verse. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, if we looked back at verse 12, I think this is where I wanted to go. Verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 3, which says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, why did I put that there? As I was getting some other verses here this afternoon. Maybe that wasn't the verse I wanted. But anyway, You see there in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, we're to be what?
Ready
always to give an answer. Okay, so we need to be ready at all times. You know, what if pastor calls you on a Sunday morning and says, Beth, take this person and go talk to them. Boy, if you have no idea what you're going to say or don't, you know, you're going to be very nervous and fearful in doing that. What if you're out there in public and maybe you're in your workplace and you have a good testimony and one of the co-workers comes up to you and says, you know, I see you're always happy and life seems to be going well for you and there's something different about you. What is it about you? What would you tell them? That'd be a perfect opportunity, wouldn't it not? To say, well, let me tell you. I'll tell you what that is. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3. Get your New Testament out or whatever. And take them right through the Romans road. Do you think that would be helpful for them? I think they'd be open and ready to listen if they're asking you. By the way, I had prayed some time ago. People want to come here and sell us stuff all the time. That's why Pastor has me here and he's not here. Just kidding. I'm only kidding. But I actually love the opportunity when somebody comes, especially if I know they're coming. I can pray, Lord, help me to be bold. Help me to be a witness. And I had a young man come selling copiers. And I prayed beforehand, Lord, give me an opening. I want to witness to this gentleman. And so I was able to sit down with him, and he asked a question. This is a Baptist church, right? I said, yeah. He says, well, I'm Catholic. What's the difference? That was a perfect opening for me, and I was able to go through the Romans road with him. And he didn't get saved right then and there, but I was able to give him the plan of salvation. And by the way, we use a plan, but we're presenting a person, okay? Remember, and I know Pastor preaches, and I've read it many times too. I think it's in the book of Luke where Simeon held up the little baby Jesus and said, now mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. That's what Jesus means, Savior. And he's the Messiah. He's the promised one that God promised would come to save us from our sins. All right, so know how and what you're going to say gives you confidence and produces boldness. It helps you control the conversation. It helps you avoid confusion. You'll be ready when you have the opportunity to witness. Someone might say, well, I don't like using some canned approach every time. What about letting the Holy Spirit use you and giving you the words to say? Well, my answer to that would be fine. That's fine, but you know, get the Romans road memorized and get it down and start using that and start witnessing to people. And then get to know your Bible real well. Then when you have the opportunity, maybe depending on what questions come up or what they say, you might be able to use a little bit different of approach. But you've got to start somewhere, right? And so we've got to memorize this and we've got to know it. And it'll give us confidence. It'll give us boldness. And again, you have to practice, just like anything, you have to practice to improve. You know, when I was a little boy, I practiced throwing a baseball, a rubber sponge ball against my parents had an outhouse. We didn't use it. We had an in-house, praise the Lord. But it had two steps up to it, and they were concrete, and they were wide, about this wide. And there was a little bit of bank that went down. And for hours upon hours, as a little boy, I used to throw that sponge ball against those steps. And the purpose I was doing that is when I hit those steps just right, that ball would come back to me. Sometimes it would try to go over my head or off to my left or my right, and I would dive and catch and all that. And from doing that for hours and hours, I became a good pitcher, and I had a very strong throwing arm back then. And, I haven't done that anymore. So, Bob, you've seen how I played it the last time we played softball. Pretty lousy. But that's because I'm not practicing. I'm out of practice. But see, what I'm saying is this, if you practice going through the Romans road, you're going to get better at it, just like anything. And God, the Holy Spirit, will use you. He'll use His Word. And so we need to do that. All right, so here I am throwing my notes aside, and I didn't even get through. Okay, so we got that. The first thing is memorize your approach. Memorize the Romans Road. Try to memorize those scriptures at the very least. Highlight them in your Bible or in your little New Testament. And then use it. Number two, spend time with the Lord and pray about your fear. Listen, that is so key. We have to spend time with our Lord Jesus Christ. David said in Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Listen, we're going to be fearful. It's normal to be fearful. I still get fearful when I go out there to a certain extent. But I have much more boldness and confidence because I know what I'm going to say if I have the opportunity to talk to someone. Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. These men weren't skilled in the laws and in the Word of God. But they saw they had boldness because they noticed that they had been with Jesus. Listen, if you spend time with the Lord in His Word and in prayer, it will give you boldness. It will give you boldness. Turn to Acts 4. Acts chapter 4. And verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. I think this is where I was going to read verse 12. No, maybe it isn't. I don't know. I don't know where that verse 12 came from that I had in my notes. But anyway, what's the story here? Is this the place where I read they were threatened, right? They were preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Jewish people, the Jewish rulers did not like it, so they threatened them that they're not to speak in this name. And this is where it picks up. It says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is them and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David hast said, Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. I think that's in Psalms. For of a truth against the Holy Child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. This is verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word. Listen, what would you do if you were threatened by the authorities? You're in Denver, downtown Denver, and the police officers stop you and say, okay, enough of this stuff. You're not going to be out here preaching this Jesus stuff. It's likened it to the way it might be today. But you go back and say, hey, pastor, pray with me. Let's get the people together. Let's pray that we'd have boldness. They threatened us, but we're going to continue to do it. Kind of the idea here. And it says, verse 29, And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word, by stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, now listen to this, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake the word of God with boldness. Now, what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon them. When did we get the Holy Spirit? The moment we got saved. So we already have the Holy Spirit. So we should be bold because God is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. And we should pray, Lord, give me boldness to be a witness for you. So that'll give us confidence. That'll give us boldness if we spend time with the Lord and we pray. Okay? That was the second thing. Memorize the approach questions. Memorize the Romans Road. Spend time with the Lord and pray about your fear. Thirdly, recognize the Lord is with you. When the Apostle Paul was afraid, the Lord reminded him of his presence and protection. Acts 18:9. I'll read this. You don't have to turn there, although we're pretty close. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, Paul. I'm adding the word Paul there. But speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. Now, was Paul ever hurt? He sure was. But Paul is being reminded by the Lord, Paul, don't hold your peace. Speak. And I am with you. You and I have to realize and recognize that when we're out there, the Lord is with us. He's with us to help us. Psalm 56:3. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Just trust the Lord. Like I said, I'm not boasting of this, but I remember when I was in Lancaster City, I'm sure it's worse now than it was then, but not everybody was real friendly to me when I was there. But I would go down Lancaster City by myself and visit my bus route and try and get other people to ride the bus. And the Lord was with me and protected me. I was never hurt. And yet I was in some rough areas. If any of you know Lancaster City, Beaver Street was not a very good street, but that was a good street for me. A lot of kids came off of that street, but it was one of the worst streets in Lancaster City. And so, again, we just have to remember, the Lord is with us. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 56:11, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Again, man can hurt us, but I'm not going to be afraid because I'm going to obey God. Okay? Fourth one I think is pretty key. Don't be afraid of making a mistake. We all do. Don't be afraid of making some silly mistake. We all make them. I made a big one a few years ago. Quite a few years ago. There was the other church my wife and I went to. There was a man about my age who, of course, this is 20, 30 years ago, so we were a lot younger then. But he was saved. He was Catholic, and he got saved. So I thought, oh boy, I got this man that I work with. He's Catholic. I'll take Carrie along with me, and we'll witness to him. So we get in the door. And I'm all pumped up, ready. Oh, we're going to witness to this gentleman. And Carrie's going to help me. He was Catholic. And I thought, well, he'd be a good inroad for him. So we get in the house, and I said, the name escapes me, but let's just say his name was Larry. I said, Larry, this is Carrie. He was a Catholic. Now he's a Christian. Ooh. I made a big boo-boo. You know, we weren't able to get anywhere. Carrie, my friend, he just kind of dropped his head and thought, oh, Terry, why'd you say that? So we all make mistakes, but you know what? I still work with that man, and I got to talk to him other times. And by the way, he did claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Whether or not he was truly saved or not, but he could have given me the plan of salvation. He knew it that well, and so I don't know. But anyway, you're going to make mistakes, and so don't be afraid of making mistakes. Some never share Christ with others because they're afraid they would make a mistake if they did try to talk to someone. Let me remind you, the greatest mistake we make is not witnessing for the Lord when he has commanded us to do so. Listen, did you hear that? The greatest mistake we make is when we do not witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, God will help you. You'll learn from your mistakes. Do you think I'll ever say that again? If I was to try to witness to a Catholic person, and I'd never say that again. I remember that to this day. I mean, it was like, I knew I blew it. But anyway, we'll make mistakes. You'll learn from your mistakes. So don't be afraid of making a mistake. 1 Samuel 15:22, familiar verse for you. It says, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in offerings, as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" You might be familiar with this. They was supposed to kill all the Amalekites and destroy everything. And then it says, "Behold," and there was the noise of the sheep. Remember that story? Was it? Some of you do, but anyway, he says this: "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." He thought he would save some of them to sacrifice to the Lord. Listen, you can make sacrifices and sacrifices, but you know what really matters? God wants us to obey Him. And didn't we just last week see? And listen, it's not me. That's what can give me. By the way, that gives me boldness. I can get up here and preach and tell you to do this because it's not me. It's God telling you. It's a mandate. It's a command. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And if you and if I don't do it, we're disobeying God. Plain and simple. So don't you think we ought to at least give this a try and work at it? Because if we don't, we've automatically said, okay, I'm not going to do it. And we're disobedient. And by the way, there are sins of commission and there are sins of omission. So if we don't do what God says we are to do, we're sinning. And of course, if we do what we aren't supposed to do, we're sinning as well. You understand that. Even if we make mistakes, God can still use His Word to bring conviction. Okay? God can use His Word to bring conviction. Again, let's not forget, we can plant, we can water the seed, but it's God who saves. So plant the seed. Get the Word of God into the hearts and minds of people. And God will use that. Number five. This is very similar to the last one. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. Don't be afraid of doing more harm than good. You might have somebody say, "I'm afraid I'll do more harm than good." Well, you could to an extent, but listen, Satan is a master at using different tactics to keep us from witnessing. And one of those is to convince you and me that we'll do more harm than good. Again, we'll do more harm than good if we let the unsaved go unwarned and unreached by not witnessing. Listen, yeah, we might make mistakes and we might offend somebody. But listen, we're doing a lot more harm by not witnessing. Amen? We're letting people just go uneducated, if you will, about the gospel, and unsaved, and so we're doing harm by not telling them. You probably know Ezekiel 3:17-19. I don't think we'll take the time to read that, but about being a watch. Well, yeah, let's turn there. Let's turn to Ezekiel. I should read it at the Word of God. Should have marked this because I can't find it right away. See that? Let's see. You trying to tell me a page number here? 537 in my Bible. Sometimes when I'm up here, I can't find what I'm wanting to find. All right. Never be embarrassed to find the book of the Bible we're going to go to, okay? If you have to, look in the front. Yeah, I know my books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. But sometimes I get messed up, especially when I get up here and I'm looking at you folks. I can't think. Because you want to get up here and see how you look out there. Excuses, you hear them all. All right. Enough of that silly stuff. All right. Ezekiel 3:17. Son of man, I made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. I know that's Old Testament, but listen to what Paul said. In Acts 20:26, he says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Paul's saying this, I'm warning the wicked. I don't want their blood on my hands. He says in verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Do you think Paul was concerned? I know he was concerned for his own Jewish people. We read that he could wish himself accursed. You know, you and I can't understand that. Paul literally said that. In fact, he said, I lie not. Because I guess a lot of people would say, you know, Paul, are you lying? You really would say that? You'd wish yourself a curse for your own people? Paul said, I lie not. Paul said he was pure from the blood of all men. And he warned everyone night and day with tears. 2 Corinthians 5:11 says this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Listen, if we have an opportunity to speak to them and tell them about Jesus Christ and we don't warn them, then their blood is on our hands. And I'm ashamed to tell you tonight there's blood on my hands. How about it, folks? Do you have blood on your hands? I still remember when I was working the snack food route for Gross Snack Foods, there was a wicked man that worked on the turnpike tolls. And I would see him and he would curse and carry on. And I often thought to myself, the Holy Spirit was saying, Terry, you ought to witness to that man. Give him a track or something. And I never did. And it wasn't too long, I went back in and I said, oh, hey, where's so-and-so? Oh, he passed away. I tell you, that still haunts me. I never gave him a track, never witnessed to him. So let me tell you this, folks. Don't worry about doing more harm than good. You'll do more harm by not witnessing than if you were to witness. Number 6, and I only have 2 more then, and we'll be done soon. We'll be out of here shortly after 7 o'clock. Don't be afraid of questions. You say, well, I don't know my Bible that well. And they're going to ask me questions. I'm not going to know what to say. And so, remember, these are some tips to help us not be so fearful. People are going to ask questions. But as I said before, stick with the Romans Road. They ask a question, well, what about the dinosaurs? Or what about this or that? Say, you know what? First, let's talk about this, and then at the end, we'll address some of those questions that you have. And just take them through that. And then when you're all done, don't be afraid to say, now, what was that question you were wanting to ask? And if you don't know the answer, write it down and say, you know what, I really don't know the question to that. I'm sorry I can't answer that, but I'll go to my pastor, see if he knows. I'll study it out for myself. And when I get the answer, I'd be glad to help you with that. But listen, the devil is good at getting people distracted. And they want to distract you with all the kind of questions they have. And first of all, go through the Romans Road with them. And again, don't be so quick to have them just say a prayer. Make sure you've sensed some conviction and that they're really with you on this. And if they're not, just, hey, you got that much into them. Remember, what did you do? You planted the seed. You're watering the seed that somebody else might have already planted. It's not up to you to save them anyway. God's going to bring forth the increase. Just give them the plan of salvation. Give them the person of salvation and let God work in their hearts. Don't feel like, by the way, what did the Bible verse say? If you warn them, you're free. But if you don't warn them, you'll stand before God one day and he'll remember, because he'll remember everything. He'll say, well, I remember when you warned them, you showed them that whosoever, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. At least you got that much. You've said that. And so don't be afraid of questions. Number 7, be more concerned about winning souls than friends. This is huge. Be more concerned about winning souls than friends. Some fear that if they witness, they'll lose friends. Let me tell you, you may lose some friends. I still remember Peter Riccardi. I've listened to his testimony. He was in a rock band. He got saved. He went to all of his buddies that he sang with, witnessed to him. And they blew smoke in his face and cursed him out, mocked him, and so forth. But today, many of them have been saved. But you know what? He wasn't concerned about losing his friends. He was concerned about their soul and witnessed to them. I've had people tell me, I've even known someone who claimed that they had trusted Christ, or at least was a believer, but says, you know what, I lost a lot of friends over that. Now they don't even go to church. Nothing to do with religion. Listen to what Paul says here, Galatians 1:10. For I do now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please man, I should not be the servant of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Do you see that? We've been put in trust. You and I as Christians have been trusted by God with His gospel. The good news that Jesus Christ saves. And He says here, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. See, this is about pleasing God, not pleasing our friends. I told you the story of my brother. He got upset with me because I witnessed to him. I really believe the Word of God convicted him. And he was upset with me. But today, he and I are on speaking terms. We go to their house from time to time. I don't say too much to him anymore. I've sent him tracts and so forth. He probably figured, they came from Terry. But, you know, at the point in time, I thought I lost him as my brother, because I didn't think he'd talk to me again after that, but he has. And so, but I'm not worried about that. You know what? If he dies and goes to hell, I'm glad I at least talked to him. That's one person whose blood's not going to be on my hands, folks. How about your relatives? If they die and go to hell, is their blood going to be on your hands? Because you never warned them? Listen, you can do this with God's help. You can give them the Romans Road. That leads, well, let me give you a couple more verses and I'm going to go to the last point and I'm all done. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Listen, I love to be accepted, don't we all? You know, we want to be accepted by people, but God says, listen, if you want to be a friend of the world, then you're an enemy of me. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Listen to this, Charles Finney listed 9 rules for converting nobody. 9 rules for converting nobody. Number one on his list was, let your supreme motive be popularity rather than the salvation of souls. Number one. You know, my friends are here in this building. I've lost friends over the gospel. But you know what? I've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, don't you? Amen? And I want to please him. And last but not least, be determined to be a soul winner. You got to determine you're going to do this. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Listen, I know the context of that, but the truth is this, you can do this because Christ is going to help you because he commanded you to do it. And if he commands us to do it, he's certainly going to help us to do it, is he not? He will help us, and so we've got to be determined. Never tell yourself you can't. You can through the Lord's help. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9. I'm almost done. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Probably another familiar scripture, at least it is to me, but hang on here. Did I make another boo-boo? Nah, I don't think so. Yeah, here we go. All right. This, by the way, this is in the context of preaching the gospel here. Because if we looked at verse 16, look what it says in 1 Corinthians 9:16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He comes to the end here and he says this in verse 24. Know ye not the day which run in a race, run all but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Does that sound like determination? So run that you may obtain the prize. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight. I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And I know there's some, but listen to this. The idea is this, and that scripture there, as we see, as Paul says, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. He said, as we run a race, we run to win. We're determined. By the way, anybody who wants to win is going to work hard and they're going to be determined to be the best. Am I right? Listen, when I was playing baseball, I determined I wanted to be the best baseball player I could be. You know, same way with preaching. I want to be a good preacher. So I have to be determined to work at this and so forth. You have to determine that you're going to do this. And I end with this. A young man asked Abraham Lincoln for advice on becoming a lawyer. His answer was, if you are resolutely determined to make a lawyer of yourself, the thing is more than half done already. What's he saying? Listen, if you're determined to become a lawyer, you're over halfway there. It's the determination. So what's that say if you're not determined? If you say, "And I can't do this. I'm too shy. I'm too bashful. I don't have the courage. I fear. I don't know what to say. I'm afraid of making mistakes and so forth." You're already halfway defeated, right? So you have to determine. Listen, I give you 8 things to help you overcome fear in witnessing, something that's common to all of us and may even constantly be. Memorize the Romans Road. Know what you're going to say ahead of time. Pray and ask God to help you to get over the fear. Spend time with God. By the way, that'll really help. You know what? People will be drawn to you they say, you know what, there's something different about that man. There's something different about that woman. I want to hear what they have to say. Am I right? So be determined to spend time with God and pray. Don't worry about making mistakes. You're going to make them. You're not going to be perfect. But God will help you. Be determined to do this. It's a command of God. And I need this message for me as much as you need it, folks. Listen, if we as a church would witness, first of all, God would be glorified. Amen. And who knows who would be saved? God does, but we don't. But anyway, I hope this helps. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your